cliffcentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, gorgeous, sexy, beautiful, terrific, amazing, unbelievable people. Yeah, it's Tuesday. Are we good? Almost the end of August. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, there's today and there's tomorrow, and then before you know it, it's done. Done and dusted. And look who's back. It's Michael Flex.
It's good to be back. What's happening? What's good? What's changed?
Listen to you. You sound horrible.
I left my lungs in Italy.
Oh, dear.
What happened to you? What did you get?
I think I got the Black Plague.
Yeah. Some of that dust from that earthquake kicked up germs that have been dormant for thousands of years.
That
went straight for your lungs.
Was no joke. That
Dude,
was very hectic.
I saw pictures on TV of that village that had been floored.
Legit destroyed.
Yeah, I mean, how far away from you was that?
Not very far. Maybe like a village down from us.
You
must see, the way the villages work in Italy is every like village has a courtyard. And then it has a church. And at the highest point of every city is the church, because it was sort of like their base. So if ever attacked, it was their highest point, and they could retreat there and see the enemy and fire from there. So that's a little fact. Jeez. About Italy.
I still can't get over how you were like an arm's length away from the Pope. I don't know how that happened. I know Catholics who've been a fan of the Pope, who are so moved by even the Pope's, the mention of the Pope's name makes them all nervous, and they get excited and they start crying and stuff, and they've never got as close as you did to the Pope. The best they could hope for is a huge crowd in St. Peter's Square, and they're one of 20,000 people there to see him.
So what happens when you go see the Pope? There's two places it happens. It either happens in this like giant courtyard thing.
No, that's St. Peter's Square.
Peter's Square, if there's a lot of people.
Giant courtyard thing.
Yeah.
Or it happens somewhere else if there's less people. So there was a lot of people, so we went to St. Peter's Square. So there's the general public who's like on the square.
And then there's Michael Flax, who somehow gets to the front of every queue.
VVIP access.
Yes.
So let me explain. It goes general public. Then it goes VIP, which is just left of the Pope and right of the Pope in like little boxes.
Uh-huh.
And then there's VVIP.
Right in front of him.
Who has no barrier in front of them. They sit like directly next to the Pope.
Did they search you for weapons?
Yeah. You get searched about 3 times every like checkpoint.
Because you know people have tried to kill the Pope in the past.
Yeah, and the Pope's got his like Popemobile, and he so the Pope will come out. He'll go into general public, ride around in his Popemobile. Pick up babies and kiss them, shake some hands with about 20 bodyguards around him. Then he'll come up to his stadium. He'll give his address.
Uh-huh.
Then the VVIP go and stand in the line, and they get to shake his hand and get a photo. And then he will walk around to the VIP if he feels like and shake their hands from like over the barrier.
Wow.
So we could have shook his hand, but he didn't that day decide to come to us.
But I mean, you were so close to the dude.
Yeah, he thanked us for coming. He thanked, like...
Did he say, Michael Flex, thank you for coming, Michael Flex.
No, huh? he thanked, like, the Jewish students for coming this morning. He thanked the Palestinians for coming this morning.
Were there Palestinians there?
Yes, they were there. They were also in VIP.
Oh, wow.
They had the Paralympics team in VIP. He thanked them. He's a very nice Pope. I learned a bit about Popes, like the terrible Pope was not a fan of him.
Which terrible Pope? There have been a few.
Mm.
No, the one that was labeled the terrible Pope.
Well, there were a few. That's what I'm saying. I'm telling you that there were some really shitty people who ended up being Pope. Like complete megalomaniac, genocidal, homicidal lunatics. I mean, you've watched The Borgias, right, Mubs? You remember that show?
Yes, I do.
That was about one of the popes during the Renaissance. And there were some dodgy people around then. It was pretty much like the mafia, you know. And there have been popes throughout history. There was a black pope. Did you know about that?
No.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you've got to throw tokens in every now and again, you know.
Well, but this is in Europe, when before there was any kind of political correctness or, you know, BEE. And then there was a woman pope once. Well, they say it was a woman pope, and nobody really knows.
Well, how do you know?
She snuck in. It was
no,
a mess.
How do you not know whether someone is a woman or not?
You never really got to show off your, like, there was no Kim Kardashian of the 1300s to show off her junk. So you never knew for sure.
You know, there are these telltale signs that us women have.
What, like no Adam's apple?
No Adam's apple.
Like titties.
The pitch of our voice is a little bit higher.
Yeah.
I'm just struggling to understand how people did not know
not
if she's
angry.
A man or a woman. There were no Caitlyn Jenners back in those days, right?
Perhaps there's...
Hi, everybody!
Caitlyn?
Hi. How are you, my buddy?
Caitlyn, I see you still haven't gotten control of that voice situation of yours.
I'm doing really, really well. I'm trying so hard.
It always breaks towards the end, though, Caitlyn.
No, it's perfect. I have no problem.
All right, Caitlyn.
What were you saying about men with women's voices?
Oh, no, I was just talking about telltale signs of the difference between men and women.
Oh, okay.
You're familiar with these differences at this stage, aren't you, Caitlyn?
I am. my balls are so itchy.
Oh.
I'm sweating.
Caitlyn, we have to go. You know, we have a show to do. I'm sorry,
Thank
Caitlyn.
You. I'm so glad you got rid of her. She's just calling all the time now. It's like she hasn't run out of things to do. Or she has run out of things to do. That's why she's calling us the whole time.
Did you know the Pope, he reigns until he dies?
You and the... What is it with you and the Pope? Are you converting to Catholicism?
No, the Vatican City is the most fascinating place I've ever been to.
Isn't it beautiful in there?
It's beautiful, but still, like, the rich history behind it. Like, it's built on a gigantic wall because they didn't want to get involved in some shit that was happening in Italy and some fighting with someone else.
Do you know what they built that church and everything around it on? Do you know what the focal point of all of that is?
No.
The grave of Saint Peter, Jesus' first and most important disciple. The one he turned to and said, Peter, I can see your house from here. No, I'm kidding. It's the one that he said, Peter, I want you to, on this rock, build your church. And then they crucified Peter and he refused to be crucified like Jesus because he thought, you know, Jesus is the only one who should be crucified like this. He told them to crucify him upside down.
Oh, okay.
Which is pretty fucking horrible, right?
Sure.
I mean, as if crucifixion isn't bad enough on its own.
Now you've got to have all this blood rushing to your head.
So then he was crucified during the reign of Emperor Caligula or Nero, one of the two, and buried on the Vatican Hill. There was an old Christian cemetery there. And they found what they say are the bones of Peter, and it's in the middle of that big cathedral, St. Peter's Basilica. And there's a little box and a piece of red brick wall that he was buried in. And in that little box are his bones. Those would be 2,000 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. It's quite something, huh? So that's the foundation of the whole thing. That's why it's there. But you're right. The Vatican was also, they wanted to separate themselves out from the rest of Rome, which was crazy. It was madness. And the Goths came and sacked the city and lots of other stuff. So yeah, you must have learned all about that.
I learned some things about the Vatican. Like the Vatican's basically its own functioning city within Italy.
It's a country.
And I think it was like the president of Italy decided to give them the Vatican just to make peace. That because the Pope at the time didn't want to recognize Italy as an existing country.
Well, the Vatican used to own huge pieces of Italy. The Vatican used to control big swathes of territory. Remember, the Pope wasn't always a spiritual leader. He was also what they call a temporal leader, or someone who has, like, control.
Like a king.
Like a king, like a president, yeah. In fact, he was more powerful than a lot of the kings and emperors of Europe for a long, long time. And remember what he would do if he didn't like you or that you worked against him in some way? You know what he would do? He'd excommunicate you. And you wouldn't be able to receive communion and you wouldn't be able to go to church services. And basically, they'd turn their back on you, so you'd be bound for hell.
Presently, the Pope acts as the Pope and the king. Right. And a decision he makes as the king, he can't be held liable if he is the Pope
because,
a different time.
That's right, because there's a thing called infallibility. Do you know what this is, Ben, or have you stopped caring a long time ago?
Gareth, I think the Pope is one big... It's like a pantomime. I think it's a joke. And there's gold toilets and all those children in his basement. Sorry, I just stopped listening. But I did enjoy the fact that Michael has taken on all this history, and he's gone somewhere really interesting.
I'm impressed, Flex. I'm impressed with you.
So I'm more impressed about Michael's journey rather than this guy in the funny hat.
Well, were there any attractive girls on this trip with you?
Not a lot. Not a lot. I'm not going to lie. There's a lot of attractive girls in, like, Italy and Rome and that.
But not on this trip.
But not on my trip.
And you've lost some weight. I mean,
I did.
It was basically fat camp, right?
It was fat camp until the last 3 days where we found a breach in security, which you could actually enter the city, which I was eating two pizzas a day from there.
Oh, good.
Oh, the little fat kid
it's
got
like
out.
It's just like episode South Park.
It was like a little tiny little, like, where mesh was missing in the wall. And you'd have to climb under it. And, like, people would just go nonstop each day. You'd have to wait your turn to climb under.
I ate my brother!
And then a really fat guy got stuck.
Did a fat guy get stuck?
No. There was one day where, like, people started finding out about this hole because on Saturday for lunch they served chicken. And they couldn't figure out why some people had gastro and some people didn't have gastro from the chicken. And then people started coming forth like, no, I went out for lunch. I didn't eat the chicken.
Oh, did you eat the chicken?
Nah, duh. From that time, I was already having pizzas.
Can you imagine getting gastro in a foreign country?
And the little town caught on that we had moved in. Because we went to the liquor store and the first day we bought gin was 13 euros. Then 2 days later, after we had bought maybe like 5 bottles, it was now 17 euros. And each day we went back, they kept taking it up by a euro. Hyperinflation to the maximum for this city.
Wow. Okay, and you didn't run out of cash or anything, did you?
No, I didn't run out of money. I didn't spend much while I was on this tour. Okay. The only place I spent was in Rome and Abu Dhabi. Abu Dhabi, the worst airport ever.
Flew through there?
Yeah, most expensive airport I've ever been to. Everything's like times four.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're back, Flex, and even though you're sick, we're happy you're here.
Yeah, I'll get on some antibiotics today. I'll be tip-top by Thursday, Friday.
Please don't make us sick. All right, let's get into a couple of news headlines this morning, see what's going on. Here is Mabali Moloi with the latest.
All right, Gareth, let me begin with a new player who's forced himself into the boxing ring when it comes to finance minister versus the Hawks.
Uh-oh.
He is the minister of local government, and even if it was for just 30.5 seconds, he was the minister of finance once. Yes, I'm talking about Des van Rooyen, who is accusing the finance minister of undermining the Hawks, opting rather to use the media to solicit sympathy. So
what's
Des
he got
van Rooyen,
why is he involving himself in this? Shouldn't he shut up and be quiet? He was quickly removed from that position. I mean, clearly the guy must shut up.
Gareth, but when you are an ally of the president, it is your job to be vocal and to never shut up, because Des van Rooyen also said that they are not comfortable with the linkage of the president to this whole investigation.
I made a mistake.
Saying,
and I apologize for it.
He's saying that the president should not be brought into the Pravin Gordhan versus Hawke situation. So that's what's happening on that front. Meanwhile, the new mayor of Tshwane, this is now Solim Simang, has given his mayoral committee 100 days to produce tangible change, Gareth. Now, a lot of us will look at 100 days, which is like more or less 3 months, as I'm giving myself 3 months to lose X amount of kilograms so that I'm, summer ready for December.
Oh, don't go there. All right? Don't go there.
Well, okay. Solim Simanga has put his mayoral committee on a similar plan. They've got just 3 months to produce tangible change within the municipality.
Now, what does that mean? Does that mean everything's going to work?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I will get into the specifics of what this means a little bit later on. But it's nice to know that, the mayor has deadlines in place, if you will.
Listen.
Remember, he came to the show last year at some point.
It was, January, February. You're right. January, February this year, yeah.
He was in the studio saying that, in his opinion, government officials should be able to prove their work review, if you will. government officials, we should be able to look back on the time that they've spent in their position, and if they haven't done a good job, he feels that then they should be fired and replaced with somebody who can do the job. So I guess it comes as no surprise that Solim Simanga is of the opinion that, you know, deadlines should be met in terms of what his mayoral cabinet should be able to do or produce.
Okay. Well, so good luck to him. You see the streets where I live. It's a nightmare. I don't know what the hell's happened there. It's turned into holy hell in a handbag. They're digging up and changing all the pipes. I suppose this is a good thing, right? Long term, it means water will. We won't have so many leaks. There won't be as many problems. They're putting down fiber everywhere, so it's going to improve the internet. You know, everything. I'm happy about it, but what a mess it is in the meantime. Mm. Trenches being dug, and that yellow and orange mesh that they put up against the side of the road. And
you need to be careful when you take your dog for walks. He could disappear in the trench.
Yeah, some people have lost their dogs, their children.
Yeah,
you know.
It's
then they just cover up the trench and you never see your kid or your dog again.
And then while we're speaking of mayors, former Johannesburg Mayor Parks Tau has launched a scathing attack on the city's new leader, Herman Mashaba. Yep. Among the things that he's accusing Herman Mashaba of is he's a sexist, Gareth. He's also an anti-black individual. Parks Tau says that Herman Mashaba is leading an anti-transformation coalition government. So out with the old, in with the new. Parks Tau has a few words to share about his opinions on the new mayor.
What do people expect? I mean, what would you say? If you're Parks Tau, you've tried really hard to run the city of Joburg, right? And then the people of Johannesburg have basically given you the middle finger. At least half of them. A little bit more than half. They've said to you, nah, not good enough, bye-bye.
Yeah.
What are you? You're obviously cross.
Yeah, but why say anything at all? Because now it just looks like sour grapes.
Yeah. Well, that's...
I mean, I would just keep quiet.
Like, the ANC just don't understand how badly they fucked up here. What they got to do is be humble about things. Like, just be humble. You know, I had a conversation last night with, first of all, with an older, he's ANC royalty. And he was saying to me, you know, there are some people who just need to admit they've screwed up. And then I spoke to a much younger member, also prominent, of the ANC, who said to me, they got to stop trying to look for someone to blame. Like, this is your... No one is... The EFF and the DA haven't been extraordinary or exceptional. They haven't suddenly won the hearts and minds of gazillions of South Africans and the whole world has changed. This is because the ANC just... they're out of touch with the people. And I watched the beginning of a horrendous interview with Jesse Duarte, where she's being interviewed on ANN7, because, you know, it's the only safe channel they can go to where they can say, well, you're not allowed to ask this, you're not allowed to ask that, because it's owned by? That's right, the Guptas. And then Jesse's answering some very soft questions from this interviewer. But you can see there's no mea culpa. You know, like if you catch someone with their hand in the till and you say to them, please stop stealing my money, and their hand is in the till, and then they start blaming you, like, well, you put the till there, you're not going to be sympathetic to them anymore. You're going to be like, you know what? I tried with you. No, I'm not happy. People stayed at home. They didn't go to the polls. If they did go to the polls, they voted against the ANC. ANC's got to sit there and go, listen, people, my people, we have screwed up colossally. Here's how we're going to fix it. We don't hear any of that, though, do we?
No, we don't.
Not a peep.
Get out of here, man. Shit, I'm saying. Get out of here for real.
Right.
Gareth, the Democratic Alliance have proposed a plan in an attempt to rescue South African universities from the state of emergency over fees threatening them. Now, on one hand, you've got students who are asking for free education. In the middle, you've got the president who has basically said that, you know, we can't increase fees for 2017, to which the universities have responded saying, Now you're putting us on a slippery slope to us shutting down our doors, because not increasing the fees for 2017 is going to be a big problem for us as institutions. So the DA are suggesting that government return to contributing 50% of the sector's required funds to tertiary institutions. Little known fact, since 1994, state funding decreased from 50% to 40%. So the DA solution is to take it back up to 50%.
Well, you know what the problem is here.
The numbers first don't of all, add up.
No, well, first, let's start off. The DA needs theme music from now on. This is their new theme music. All right, so from now on, this will be the DA's theme music.
Okay, all right.
Those trumpets, it's gorgeous. All right, so that'll be the DA theme music. Now that's out of the way.
Okay. It was important.
Who are the majority of students going to university right now?
What, when you say who, what
demographically,
are we talking?
Like, what kind of people are we talking about here? Young, post-school, black girls and guys.
Yeah.
Mostly. The vast majority.
Yeah,
now,
sure.
What do they become after university?
Very few of them, Gareth, become employable in the degrees that they study.
Wrong answer.
What do you mean?
They become clever blacks. Now, how does that help the ANC?
Oh no! But this has nothing. Oh, this has nothing to do. This has nothing to do with the ANC.
It's got something to do with it. I'm telling you now. Listen, I'm not the one who came up with this terrible term, clever blacks. We had this conversation with Fred Kumalo yesterday. The minute you have people who have agency, people who are individuals who've decided I'm going to decide for myself where and when and how and why, and they lose that mentality of like we got to have solidarity and we all got to stick together and we got to do this and we got to do that. Guess what happens? You create all kinds of trouble for yourself as government. Now suddenly you have to account to these people. Their parents were very well behaved and just did what you told them. But now these people think for themselves. That's not useful at all.
Well, it will be interesting to see what...
They might even vote EFF. DA, God forbid.
Yeah. Well, a lot of them did vote for the DA. But yeah, that is the DA's proposition. Gareth, if we look at a little bit of international news, people are basically on the edges of their seats in America waiting to find out exactly what Donald Trump's immigration plan is.
Because he keeps changing his mind, right?
What it will entail. Donald Trump's lack of clarity on his plans for dealing with some 11 million undocumented immigrants in the country has been so head-spinning in recent weeks, it started to look deliberate. Trump promises to deliver a major speech this coming Wednesday on the issue.
It's going to be big. It's going to be huge. It's going to be enormous. It's the biggest speech I've ever made.
In the only way that Donald Trump knows how. So the American media are waiting with bated breath. Is that the phrase?
Tremendous speech. I'm going to bring out all the Miss Universe contestants, and they're all going to stand on the stage, and then I'm going to make a major, major, huge tremendous speech.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. The most unbelievable speech. That's all he says.
That's
he repeats
they,
himself. He talks a lot of shit. What do you expect? What do people want? Here's the problem with America, right? The world, but America in this case. People don't really want the answers. Because the answers mean you've got to think a little bit. It means your politicians have got to account to you with detail and fact. Someone like Donald Trump doesn't talk in fact. Neither does Hillary. They give you what you want to hear. So, we're going to build a wall. Woo! Dumb hicks all over America. Hokey, redneck rubes are busy clapping and cheering because they hear the, I'm going to build a wall. Woo! I need a wall so I can aim my gun at the top of the wall. Shoot those Mexicans climb over the top. I'll blow them away. Woo! They don't want to know about complex stuff like whether or not children born in the U.S. have a right to stay in the U.S., whether they have a right to Social Security, whether Americans will do the jobs that Mexicans won't, or vice versa, you know what I mean. No one wants to go into that stuff. It's too hard.
Mm.
They want someone to solve their... They want a father figure. They want someone who's going to solve their problems for them. And Donald Trump actually answers his tweets. He actually says in his tweets, I've got a plan. I've got the plan. I'm going to solve this. Don't worry about a thing. I'm going to solve your problems. That's what he says. And then these stupid, low-functioning people in America go, well, I don't know much about science and mathematics, but
But Donald Trump's rich, so he must know all the answers. He got billions. You don't just get billions, so he knows more than me. I'm going to let him do all the thinking. I'm just going to go to the polls. I'm going to cast my vote for him. And if it's not him, you know who the other option is? That crooked lesbian, Hillary Clinton. Right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I'm sure she's recalled a lot of bad things. But you mentioned Donald Trump tweeting, and I just stumbled on one of his tweets where he says, "Does anyone know that crooked Hillary, who tried so hard, was unable to pass the bar exams in Washington, D.C.? She was forced to go elsewhere."
Is that what he said?
This is what he said. And one of the best responses that I've seen from a lady called Shauna, who says, "Your wife's official RNC bio claimed she had a degree she doesn't have from a university that doesn't exist."
Right.
I don't even think Donald Trump is the one doing the tweeting, though. Doesn't he have some guy who handles his account?
You're fired.
He doesn't directly tweet.
This is the worst thing. He does.
All the time? Because I'm pretty sure there's another person in charge of his account.
Are you telling me there's someone else who's doing that crazy stuff?
I'm telling you, he's not doing all the tweeting by himself.
I would shudder.
I'm going to try and find this guy.
That means there's another person out there who's messed up. Who knows? All right. Hey, Peshitta, what's up? Oh, what's going on there? Oh, it's Flax coughing up a lung. What's up, Peshitta?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Peshitta's sitting in her regular place now. Are you happy to be out there, or do you want the seat where Flax is back?
Oh, I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, Peshitta will be doing a lot of things around here now. She'll be with us, but she'll also be helping Lerato Chabalala when she starts on Touch Central soon.
Yes, very excited. I'm a content producer now.
Damn straight. Aria Kelman and Katlego Moaduba on after that on Touch Central. And then we've got O'Neill and Dineo Ranaka, who you met here on this show just the other day.
Hey.
That's going to be exciting. Huh? Touch on in the afternoons with the touchdown. Miss Prue, DJ Capital. Lots of exciting people coming on.
Last night at the launch of Touch Central, Maddest Party, I was sipping on some of the most expensive cognac in the world.
I'm right? So glad you pronounced it correctly.
Yeah,
I've never seen.
He didn't say cognac. What? How do you spell cognac?
C-O-N-G-A-C. Okay. Cognac.
No, C-O-G-N-A-C.
It was unbelievable.
Really?
The night was just spectacular.
Okay.
I got to meet Minister of Sports, had a little chat with him, got a photo.
Minister Razzmatazz.
Did a Snapchat.
Oh, you got a photo with
He's
him.
He's actually a really nice guy, I'm not going
to
lie.
Here we go.
My only rule was Ben was there and he had to stay at least 10 meters away from the minister at all times.
I think at one point you asked me to make sure that Ben is kept away from the minister.
I basically said, "Mubs, you need to bring all your Black Panther skills to the fore to keep the minister away from Ben and vice versa."
He feels more like a friend than a minister.
He'll come in and talk to us next week. And we're going to have some killer guests. Oh, yeah, he will. Ben, again, you'll have to sit outside.
Can he do the sports for that day?
Why not? He could do the headlines.
He's good luck with that.
All right. So let's speaking of sport headlines, let's get into that with Ben. Here it is. All you need to know coming up in a moment. The sport with Ben. We've got some music starting off, so I'm going to ease you into that on cliffcentral.com, and we're of course going to be on both, but becoming touchcentral.com on a new channel, touchcentral.fm, and you can join us on either, whichever you prefer. But we got to get things going. We got to start playing some music here and there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, damn straight. And these guys won Best New Artist at the VMAs. DNC. Give us a call, 0861-555-189. Come on, you love it when I sing along. It makes the song better. Mabale's shaking her head like I've lost my mind.
Well, you know what? Your singing is a little bit better than Ben's, who started us off at 6 o'clock this morning.
That's true. Everything's better than Ben starting this.
I take offense there. Gareth just makes stupid noises. That's all he does. I articulate great songs.
Poorly.
I could have been a rock star. I'm just saying. All right, a couple of things before we get into sport. What is Touch Central, Gareth? Well, it is a streaming music radio station. It will be an online digital HD radio experience featuring some of your favorite personalities and some amazing music with none of the rules that terrestrial radio has to deal with. So it's everything you do like and none of the stuff you don't. Avi says, it's easier to have a news channel tell you how to think instead of using your own mind and doing research on the real matters. How true is that? It's hard to think. People don't want to think.
Also, people don't like to think of things that aren't the popular opinion.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no,
well, they don't want to be unpopular, yeah. God forbid you should have a point of view that isn't popular, that doesn't get you likes on social media. Gloria Mary Mulema says, good morning, morning. Gareth, I just can't say... I just say your teeth are looking hella cooler now. I mean, they are straight. None fighting in the front row. Yeah, that's true. Give your dentist a plug, Wena. Okay, have a lovely day, motherfuckers. That's from Gloria. Thank you. What a very polite, lovely message from Gloria. Yeah, there's a doctor called Dr. Stephen Flax.
Oh.
He's right across the road from us.
No relation to our Flax, obviously.
Well, I asked Flax about this. I mean, how many Flaxes can there be? He's like, yeah, he probably is, but he has no idea.
You know what the saying goes, when in doubt, trust a Flax.
Yeah, well, is that the saying?
Have you never heard it?
No, but I'll tell you something.
Surprisingly not.
This guy knows his stuff. And you didn't see me wearing any complicated orthodontics during this process, did you?
Did you sleep in something? 2 years
I've been doing this.
What is this exactly?
It's a product called Invisalign. I'm going to give them a plug. I mean, these guys have done, they've changed my life. I smile now in public. I'm not hiding in the background like Quasimodo, trying not to frighten the children.
I thought you loved frightening the children.
No. I was a monster. And then I went to this Dr. Flax. He said to me, no, we can fix it. He looks at me first of all and goes, this is a very strange mouth you've got going on. I said to him, don't I know it? He said, I think we can fix this. I said to him, I don't think you have the power. And he told me to trust him, and I did. And he got these, I had to wear these, retainer, plate things. They fit perfectly around your teeth. And then I've been wearing them for the last 2 years, even a little bit more, because he's been refining the process. And it's chalk and cheese if you compare the way my teeth look now to what they looked like 2.5 years ago. So I'm very, very pleased with this. And it's required a lot of discipline, but at the same time, these things have worked their magic. So I have no complaints. I mean, what do you think, Ben? Check that smile.
Yeah, well done, Gareth.
Yeah. Ben, in the meantime, is going through all kinds of hell with his orthodontics, but it's almost done. You know, you're getting there.
Yeah, that's like the Springboks or almost the finished article.
Oh, here we go. Straight into the pool of misery with Ben. All right, let's get into some sports. Speaking of pools of misery, Ben, what do you have for us this morning and how much of it do we need to know?
Lots of things, Gareth. Well, you spoke about the VMAs. So Jimmy Fallon impersonated Ryan Lochte.
Oh, yeah?
That dipshit who went to Rio and had a false robbery.
Did people like that?
So he I can't find a clip, unfortunately, but he walked out in a tracksuit with a medal around his neck and with the horrible bleached hair. And he was presenting best video, to which he just started ripping off all kinds of things. And then eventually he said, these videos are all so good, I couldn't choose one. Seriously, with a gun to my head, I could not choose any of these.
God, that's funny.
And people thought it was so good. Like, Michael Phelps was spotted in the crowd taking photos and laughing. Lochte himself couldn't be there because, well, he probably forgot. And secondly, because he's going through a lot of personal anguish right now.
Shame, he's never been so unpopular.
Oh, shame.
He was the dumb jock before, and he could get away with that.
So it's 7 days now until the Rio Paralympics.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what the difference between the Special Olympics and the Paralympics is?
Can I try?
Yes, Gareth, over there in the back of the class.
The Special Olympics is for mentally handicapped people, and the Paralympics is for people with physical disabilities.
Pretty much, Gareth. Yeah, intellectual handicaps is what it comes down to.
This is what we were taught as children, so I'm not trying to be politically incorrect. The term we used is like retarded people.
So Oscar Pistorius, Paralympian, but no way special. Near the Special Olympics.
That's the Duos Olympics. It's a little bit different. It doesn't take place as often.
There are a lot of these Olympics now, hey,
well,
Ben.
Well, you've got to know. That's why I'm here. You
the
really
Special
know.
Olympics was started by Kennedy's sister,
yes.
Shriver's mom. What's her name? Joan. Yeah, Joan Kennedy, who married...
Eunice... Kennedy
Sorry,
Eunice. Shriver.
That's right. Eunice Kennedy Shriver. That's Maria Shriver, Arnold's mom-in-law.
Yeah, so
she started the Special Olympics.
Yeah.
Because Shriver is where it all goes down.
Right, because her sister Rosemary had a lobotomy, so she was intellectually handicapped. And she felt like all the intellectually handicapped people in the world should be able to participate in a games and feel part of a community in the world. And they can get together and show off their physical prowess, even if they have mental challenges.
Well done, Gareth. You've just shown off your huge amount of knowledge for this. So it doesn't take place in conjunction with the Summer Games, okay? So we get the Summer Games and Winter Games for all the able-bodied people. And then we get the Paralympics. Now, the Special Olympics takes place all over the place at any given time. I mean, we could be Special Olympicking right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think we are. And that's a separate thing. So Paralympics, though, 7 days until that goes. And the Russians, you know the dodgy Russians, right? So in the 2012 Summer Olympics, the Paralympic Russian team finished second in the medals. And then in Sochi, they finished first. Hurrah, hurrah. But they were getting drugs through that glory hole in their government-sponsored lab. So the powers that be said, look, you guys are actually... No, we're not just banning you from Rio. We're banning you from Pyeongchang as well, which is the Winter Olympics in 2018. So no Paralympians for Russia for the next two games.
Aye.
That's quite a ban, huh? You know when it's so bad, they go, no, it's not this one, but the next one as well.
Sure.
You dodgies.
Very bad.
Yeah, it's very bad. So the Paralympics was started back in 1948, and basically it was so that World War II veterans with spinal injuries could actually compete and be a part of something. Yeah, Dr.
It took a war for people to care about those with physical disability.
Dr. Ludwig Guttmann, he put this together, and the first official Paralympics was 1960. So they have been around for a long time. I know that only really became popular for us when they got more TV coverage and we actually knew people in the thing. But yeah, since 1960 they've been doing Paralympics, so it's a proud tradition. And 7 days until it starts in Rio. In rugby news, well... See, I'd love to have a positive story for you, but there really aren't any.
Okay.
So there's going to be a bit of a break now. So September the 10th, right? That's the next game for the Springboks. They'll be playing in Brisbane. So they arrived back from Argentina yesterday. And 10th of September, 12:05, we'll see the next game. Now, there was some controversy over Twitter.
What
so
happened?
So you know what happens when the Springboks play? People go to Twitter and they just literally throw shit. That's all they do. It's like watching monkeys at the zoo. Everyone's just saying this and that, and it's all hatred and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So Damien De'Allender, who, by all counts, and I'm sure his own admissions, isn't playing the way he would kind of want. He's not really in the greatest form right now. And people expect quite a lot of him, but nothing's been delivered. If you look at all the sort of player ratings in the last month or so, he seldom goes over 5. So someone, just your would-be rugby fan on the couch with a beer in hand was going... You know, he was having this whole bitch about how crap the box are. And he goes, also, would not kill us to pass. Our wings are currently spectators. And then he writes, cough, and then tags in Damien De'Allender, cough. Okay.
Wow.
So the Damien De'Allender, clearly after the match, he's looking through all his notifications. He responds to the guy saying, cough some more while you sit on the couch and enjoy your life doing nothing.
Nice. Well, I've been waiting for this to happen. Where sports people hit back, because you know sports people are always so well behaved and they say these rehearsed things and they have these press conferences where nothing gets said.
So you know what, they're both right. This guy, Brandon, he's having a go because he's a fan and you're entitled to that kind of stuff. It's sport. I mean, Brandon, like most of us, probably have a very boring Monday to Friday and they need the Springboks to actually do something to make things happy. Anyway, it doesn't happen. Damien De'Allender, he trains his balls off, right? There he is, taking contact, running into fully grown other men with beards.
Right.
And that's what he does day in, day out. He doesn't appreciate this.
And then people still hate him for it when he doesn't do it to their liking.
Yeah, so that was actually a good line. Of course, he then had to delete the tweet. He had to apologize to everyone. Didn't want to offend anyone, that kind of stuff. But I reckon all for it. This is great. It shows these guys are human, and that's what they are. And since when is it a crime to be human? That's what you call a good comeback. There's nothing wrong with a good comeback.
Sure.
Speaking of comebacks, New Zealand tried to make one yesterday. Well, they got did piss poor with the bat, really. 214 they were all bowled out for. Kane Williamson top scored with 70-something. And Kiki Sorabada, again, best figures for the Proteas. He got 3 wickets. Dale Steyn also got 3 wickets there. So it was a good performance by the Proteas with the ball. They decided not to enforce the follow-on. Their lead was such that they could have done so and made New Zealand bat again. But Faf du Plessis wanted to give the bowlers a bit of a break. When you do kind of consider that Werner Philander, Dale Steyn, they haven't done a lot of bowling. So there's no point kind of running them too thin because you never know. It could backfire terribly.
Right.
So they went to bat again. And, well, they're in a lot of poo quite early, actually. Quinton de Kock was just smashing it everywhere. But then everyone else, well, it just makes for dreadful reading. Cook got 4. Umla got 1. Dumini completely trolling us because he got 80 in the first innings. And now his position's safe for the next 10 years. He just goes out there and gets a duck. Faf didn't do much better. He got 6 himself. And then little Themba Bavuma, he got things together. 25. A man no bigger than the stumps, but the heart of a lion. He is still there. 25 not out. Stephen van Zyl proved this is potentially, well, let's just say it's pretty a level too far for him. So the Proteas are 105 for 6 with, at the end of day 3. So they lead by 372 runs, which is a good lead. It could be enough of a lead. So they'll probably push on to, say, maybe 400. And then they've got more than enough time to bowl the Kiwis out. And with it, to claim the series. Hoorah.
Okay.
They'll probably still stay 7th in the world because, you know, they're just not playing enough. In golf news, the Ryder Cup, well, we know that it's got down to the automatic placings have been decided. Now it's down to the captains to make the wild card picks. Essentially what this is that the captain will say, okay, right, the form guys are in. These are the guys who are winning or are on leaderboards at the moment. But I want to pick a guy who's going to make a big difference. Now, the Ryder Cup is made of match play. So it's not like a stroke play event where everyone goes out and hits the ball. It's about playing against your opponent. So they have better ball, they have foursomes. And then on Sunday, it's the individual match play where you go hole for hole, mano and mano. It really is exciting stuff. So Europe have gone with Lee Westwood because he's been there so often. Martin Keimer as well. He had the winning putt at the last Ryder Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was in America the last time. And then Thomas Peters, who's done so bloody well recently. He won last week in Denmark. So that's what the European Tour have gone for. Not surprisingly, Graham McDowell. He's apparently got the smallest penis in all of golf.
But how do we know this?
Sources have told
people
me.
People tell other people. When you have a tiny penis, people knowledge. Find out very quickly.
About it. It's common knowledge. He himself has a good laugh about it. It's from the college days this came about.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So he's not going to play. He's just not being good enough. It's simple as that. He's just not being good enough. And Luke Donald, too. Shadow of his former self. So the Ryder Cup for America, though, this is very interesting because the top 8 guys have been decided on form, on rankings.
Mm-hmm.
So now Davis Love, the captain, who I think is going to be a very good captain for them, has said that the team themselves had to work together to now pick the rest of the guys. So 3 wildcard picks were made by the 12th of September. Now just bear in mind that it's currently the FedEx playoffs at the moment, so all the big names are playing. And then there'll be an additional 12th player named a few days before the tournament. So in the past, where Billy Horschel was the man on fire winning the FedEx, he didn't get into the Ryder Cup because the team was already established. So they're going to learn from that kind of stuff, and I reckon this is definitely going to be the time for America, because if they don't win this one, it's 4 in a row, but they will win this. So put money down. I can say that with authority and confidence. That's it for your sport today. Go Proteas.
All right. In the next little while, Anthea will give us an update on what's happening in the markets. We'll check out all your money, what little you may have, or what much you may have. CliffCentral.com on a Tuesday.
She telling me this and telling me that. You say once you take me with you, I never go back. Now I got a lesson that I wanna teach. I'ma show you that where you from. No matter to me. She said, hola, como esta? She said, konnichiwa. She said, pardon my French. I said, bonjour, mada. Then she said, sabase. And I said, nabule. No matter where I go. You know I love them all. She said, hola, como esta? She said, konnichiwa. I said, hola, como esta? She said, konnichiwa. She said, pardon my French. I said, bonjour, mada. Then she said, sabase. And I said, nabule. No matter where I go. You know I love them all. She said, hola, como esta? She said, konnichiwa. She said, pardon my French. I said, bonjour, my dad.
That's right. That's Kent Jones, the mind. Bring it on. Let's get into some money with Anthea Gardner this morning. Find out what's happening in the markets, which have been up and down and everywhere they're not meant to be. But then, you know, these days we're so used to everything being in flux.
that I suppose.
Why Sibyl, it's such a letter.
Anthea's not surprised.
Anthea, why Sibyl, it's such a letter. Anthea, why Sibyl, it's such a letter. Anthea, gotta touch a letter.
Anthea, hey Anthea, what's up?
Good morning, Gareth.
Good
volatility
morning.
Is definitely the order of the day.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Yeah, and the rand is the best example of it. Right. Yesterday, it touched 14.54 to the dollar at one stage. It's had a bit of a pullback this morning, 14.42. But you know, Gareth, there's so many things against the dollar at the moment. I mean, against this rand at the moment. So many headwinds. Firstly, after Yellen's speech, of course, we can expect a stronger dollar, which means a weaker rand. SAA and their requirement for 16 billion rand in a loan. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of rumors about Gordon being arrested this week. And of course, it doesn't help that Gordon yesterday went out and said that Eskom are being obstructive about his investigation of the Eskom purchase of coal from the Gupta-owned Tegeta. And then finally, Colin Coleman, who heads up Goldman Sachs.
I watched an interview Colin Coleman did on Bloomberg.
Yes, exactly.
Are you going to talk about that?
Absolutely, because it is so important about what he said. And in his words, he said that if Gordon is removed as finance minister, the rand will buckle. Those were his words. Mm-hmm. And South Africa will get downgraded. And Gareth, the reason I bring him up, it's because, and I don't want to play down the other important South African businessmen or women, but for the international investment community, Colin is one of the voices they listen to because he deals with international business people. He deals with the investment community. He deals with bankers. They expect him to have a pragmatic handle on what's going on. I mean, that's kind of what he does. So when he talks, they definitely sit up and listen.
Right. No, he's a very smart guy. I mean, he obviously, you know, a bank like Goldman Sachs, these guys don't mess around.
Certainly. And because they've got a reach in really every corner of the investment community in the world, and he's on the ground. They expect him to have a good view on it. So, and I've heard him talk at business dinners before, and when I heard him speak a couple of months, he was actually quite positive on South Africa. So when he comes out and says, "Uh-oh, something's going on here," I think investors sit up and listen.
Well, I posted that on my Facebook last night after watching it. It's a maybe about 11-minute long interview, but very, very interesting on Bloomberg.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can put it up on Twitter today.
Yeah, and you can almost see the chart of the rand when he went on Bloomberg TV and the chart of the rand, how it weakens. It's to the minute almost.
So this is a man who can make the rand move up and down like a finance minister. All right.
He is, I'm afraid, yes.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, and then one of the beneficiaries of the stronger dollar yesterday was Japan, because obviously a weaker yen helped their market close 2% higher, but it really didn't have the same effect on commodity-driven markets, and obviously we're a commodity-driven market. We spent most of the day in the red. We managed a slightly higher close, but just kind of sneaking in the last few minutes of trading. A handful of shares traded like you'd expect them to on the weaker rand. So Astoria was up 5%. SAB Miller was up 2%. Bidcorp was up 2%. Naspers was up another 2%. I think it's another new high for Naspers, 2,431. No, actually it's not. It traded 2,450 last week. And then I see Tencent is trading higher in China this morning. So I think we can expect Naspers to continue up. And then one of the shares that behaved very strangely was PPC yesterday. It was up 6.5% to over 9 rand a share. And I say it's surprising because tomorrow they do this rights issue, 4 rand a share. They're issuing 1 billion new shares. And I'm actually surprised at the strength of the forced buying. And I've said this before, you know, there seems to be a recall of the stock. And anybody who was short and had to borrow the stock has now had to go back into the market to buy back their short positions. I think we'll have to wait and see for tomorrow or Thursday maybe to see how the share find. It'll have to find a level that equates to a 4 rand per share rights issue. All right. And then volumes were low yesterday, only $1 billion traded. And it wasn't just because London was closed. I think traders locally are also just nervous. They just don't know so many things about this currency and about the political situation. So, you know, people kind of sitting on their hands and just waiting for some conviction or direction. And then Bidvest reported results yesterday, slightly higher than expected. It was the first time that Lindsay Rolfs, who's the new CEO of Bidvest, he took over from Brian Joffe in the unbundling. It's the first time he presented. Unfortunately for them, because of the weaker rand, the share was under pressure. And I think it's been a tough trading environment for them. Some interesting things coming out of there. Lindsay Rolfs was saying that they're looking to consolidate the business and basically get rid of some of the non-core assets. It really still amazes me how Brian Joffe has managed to build up the most diversified business in South Africa in 28 years, from nothing to over 140 billion rands worth of company.
Jesus, and like, that is something else.
Absolutely. And some of the kind of investments or subsidiaries they have are quite interesting. They even have a 6.75% stake in Mumbai Airport, for heaven's sake.
Wow.
I think they'll probably consolidate and get rid of it. But yeah, so, you know, tentacles everywhere. And at the same time, he did also say they've got about 4 to 5 billion rand for new acquisitions. So I think it's an interesting time for Bidvest to kind of see how this whole corporate structure unfolds. We'll watch carefully. And then lastly, Richemont was a bit disappointing yesterday. It should have bounced because the chairman of Prada came out to say that he expects a turnaround in luxury goods business next year. Prada shares jumped 12% yesterday. And unfortunately for Richemont, it was actually down almost 1% yesterday, which is, again, strange considering that the rand was weaker. And it's almost the perfect rand hedge play for us. So I think investors are finally, you know, cottoning on to the fact that the earnings for Richemont or the consensus earnings really are going to be downgraded a little bit further before we see it bounce. And then Asia's higher this morning. Some good economic data there. So I think, yeah, expecting a green day in South African market.
All right, very good. Well, thank you, Anthea.
My pleasure. Have a good day. We'll speak tomorrow.
Very good. There's Anthea Gardner, and we will be checking in with her tomorrow morning again and every other morning. And we're going to launch that fractional share ownership soon, which I think will get lots of people excited. People are already emailing up a storm to Anthea Mubs, trying to figure out what's going on there before we even launch.
Good.
By the way, the App Store, the Apple App Store, is fired up and ready to take your order on Touch Central, the app. So go and get it. And if you're on Android, you want to go to the Google Play Store, it's available, baby. Get it ASAP. Get that on your phone. Put it on your phone. Get in there. Put it right next to the Cliff Central app on your home screen, and you've got the best of both worlds. A bit of music, a little bit of talk, a little bit of everything you need. Right?
Sure.
It's exciting stuff. You know Greg, who's our ops manager here? Poor Greg, every year on his birthday, he launches an app. This time last year, he launched the Cliff Central app. This year, he's launching the Touch Central app. I don't know what he's got planned for next year.
So Greg's birthday is a lot more stressful than the norm.
I know.
He ages at a quicker rate than the rest of us because he's stressed all the time.
He's really 17. He just looks 412. It's quite something.
Shame.
Yeah. All right. Listen, everybody. We've got things to do, people to see, places to go. We've got news stories to talk about. We've got guests popping in. People who've climbed Mount Everest, no less. Ben, how do you like that?
I just hope they have all their fingers and all their toes.
Yeah. Lyle Turner, who has climbed Everest. He did what they call a speed climb. They also climbed Kilimanjaro. And this guy's only 26. He started his journey to the top of the world basically from the day he was born. He knew he wanted to climb Everest, not just for himself, but in the name of those who have what is called Huntington's disease. We'll find out all about that. And for four generations, his family have had this problem in their family. It's been in the genes, this Huntington's disease. And his main focus is trying to find a way to stop it. And one of the things he's doing to draw attention to this is climbing the world's highest mountain. So I think he's insane, and we're going to get him in here and talk about it. I mean, what a thing to do. I couldn't climb. I climbed up a small hill once.
Okay.
About 5 meters high.
Right.
Just about killed me.
Did you manage to make it?
Are you kidding? By a ball hair, Mubs. Hardly. I mean, I was a heaving
sweating, coughing, heavy breathing mess after that. You know, it's a hectic thing. Here's Mike Posner, and I took a pill in Ibiza, the original, which I think very few people have heard. You've heard the remixes, but listen to this. Him on the guitar. Very cute for a Tuesday morning. Almost the end of August. CliffCentral.com.